It's the Rush Hour, Luke, Libby and Dobbo. This is the catch-up for North's Rugby Food Truck Fridays every Friday from 4.30, North's Rugby Club, Shore Road in Woolowan.
Hey everyone, it's Luke, Libby and Dobbo. On today's catch-up, we're going to do our Tool of the Week segment, but most importantly, you're going to hear a piece of Queensland history involving two iconic Queenslanders that's never been told before. Also, Gordy Tallis is going to join us and break down three of the big news stories throughout the course of the week. All of that and a whole heap more on the catch-up, and it starts for you right now. Big game of footy on tonight. The Broncos taking on the West Tigers, and a bit of an honour for us to have a club captain on the phone at the moment. Now, usually when we speak to an NRL club captain, it's just one person, but with the West Tigers, they've got five captains this year, which some people call a bit of a joke. But anyway, the boys are joining us ahead of the big game tonight. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, there's up to five of you guys there tonight that will be making the decision between heads or tails tonight. Who will be making the decision between the heads and tails tonight at the coin toss?
I will.
Hang on. Who said that?
I did.
Hey, Benji, was that you that said I did?
Yeah,
no,
it was me.
Wait up. Hang on. I know how to do this, Dobbo. I'm going to ask it another way. Hey, at the coin toss tonight, will you choose heads or tails?
Tails. Sure.
Well, this is starting to get confusing for us because there are so many of you guys and you all answer differently. Do you ever agree on anything?
Yeah.
Hang on. Hey, let me ask you this, guys, about the game itself. What's the one thing tonight about the Brisbane Broncos that scares you?
Wayne Bennett.
Really? You don't think the attacking brilliance of James Roberts or the great forward running from Tevita Pangai Jr.?
No, it's Wayne Bennett. Have he and Clint Eastwood ever been seen in the same room together?
Well, you know what, Dom, at least we found something that they all agree on. That's the main thing. Hey, boys, good luck tonight. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Cheers, bro.
That's Benji that says cheers, bro, by the way.
No doubt.
I'm pretty sure of it. It's time for this.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No. It's Tool of the Week.
All thanks to Trade Tools, where they know you'd rather use the right tool than look like one. It's time for us to nominate our Tools of the Week, and we are throwing it over to you this week as well. We want your nominations. 133353 if you've got a nomination for Tool of the Week. And what's in it for you, I hear you ask? Well, we've got a $100 voucher for you to spend at your local fruit shop. We're going to give you $100 to go and spend for half-time fruit. Remember that, Dobbo?
Yep.
You get the oranges at halftime. So a $100 voucher for you to spend at your local fruit shop up for grabs if you've got a nomination for Tool of the Week. But you get us underway, Dobbo.
Yeah, look, I've got a couple of people before I give my total tool that I'd like to make special mention to. Donald Trump, who always is in the headlights for trying to pay off another actress from the adult film world that he had an affair with years ago to try and bribe her. Mate, stay classy, US president. Also to the grader driver that refused to grade my road, who then went and reported me to the mayor last week. I had an incident with the mayor last Saturday where he came and said he knew about it. Mate, Andrew and I are friends, so he actually told me. So you didn't get any brownie points. All you did yourself is a disservice to the Ipswich Shire Council. But my tool of the week this week goes to Tracy from Married at First Sight. Now, for anybody that wasn't listening to the show earlier this week, she came on and she talked about her absolute disgust for Davina, who was trying to approach her man, and how wrong it was. Fast forward 24 hours, and we're all sitting there watching Married at First Sight. And there is beautiful Tracy with a new boyfriend and still taking photos of herself in lingerie and sending it to her ex. Now, that to me is not only hypocritical, but it's downright immoral. And you're calling everybody else immoral. So for that, Tracy, you are.
The Tool of the Week.
You know what we need to do? I mean, I don't know too much about that Married at First Sight, but she sounds perfect for Donald Trump, who was also in your Tool of the Week. Hey, okay, I got an honourable mention to Benji Marshall for naming his son Benji Marshall. I'm sorry. That's narcissistic.
I'm with you. Yep.
Yeah. Also, honourable mention to whoever the producers are from the Today Show, because I saw a segment on there. Actually, I didn't see it. I saw it on the news. They were getting back at Carl for whatever. They poured mealworms all over Carl. And have a listen. This is Carl getting like thousands of mealworms poured on him.
Come on.
I get it. You know, they want to get back at Carl for all the shenanigans with the Uber and all that sort of stuff. But those mealworms would have died, Dobbo. What did they do wrong?
Yeah.
I'm sick of animals being tortured for TV. I don't like it. Call me soft, but I don't like it. But I'm giving it to this guy, Dobbo. I'm down the beach the other day. Old mate's down there with his dog, and his dog does his doings. Old mate's got the plastic bag, bends down, picks it up. I thought, what a top bloke, responsible human. And then when I'm walking back up off the beach, he didn't. He just pretended to pick it up. He just wanted to look like a good bloke. He just didn't want to get judged by the likes of me down there. He just left it there. You're an animal. You, buddy, are my...
You're the tool of the week.
Well, that's what we've got. What do you got for us? We've done our nomination, so now it's your turn. And this week, a $100 voucher for your local fruit shop. How good is that? Now, 133353 is the number. If you've got a Tool of the Week nomination for us, let's go to Natalie first from Bundle. Who's your nomination, Natalie?
Well, actually, I've got plural Tools of the Week.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got the six-member team that decided on the Gold Coast sign on the M1 going sideways.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable.
What are you declaring, Dobbo?
That could be the year's tool of the year. Yeah, like, it is the worst decision I've ever seen by a council. Natalie, we like it. For the council that decided on the Gold Coast sign, you are...
The tool of the week.
Very good.
That is, every time I drive past there, I just shake my head. Let's go to Janice out of Hope Island, who's got a nomination for us. Who's your nomination, Janice?
My nomination has got to be Davina.
Yeah.
Is this Married at First Sight?
Yeah, she's a bit of gear.
Why would you admit that you watch reality TV or not? Come on, people who have never watched reality TV watched it. They saw her and she just put herself out to pasture.
All right, I'm not even going to ask why, because I'm so sick of Married at First Sight and I'm so stoked it's over. But Davina from Married at First Sight.
You're the tool of the week.
Okay, let's go to Sean from Strathpine to wrap this bad boy out. And then you've got to decide a winner for us, Dobbo, which one of these three you like the best. Sean, who's your nomination?
Vernon Philander. He's the South African fast bowler. The one who bagged Steve Smith, who reckons he shoulder charged Rabada and he shouldn't have been charged.
Dobbo, are you going to pick him just because he's South African? What are you leaning towards here, Dobbo?
Look, I mean, I understand why Vernon's getting a special mention, but I have to give the award, the fruit box, to Natalie. The fact that you've once again highlighted that the council that selected this Welcome to the Gold Coast sign that is sideways on the M1, I don't even believe it's at the Gold Coast. I actually believe before Pippa, it's at Yatla.
Yeah, it should say Welcome to Yatla.
Welcome to Yatla. congratulations. Hold the line. You've won the fruit box, Luke. Who's it all from?
Thanks to your local fruit store. You've won $100 voucher. You'll get heaps of good stuff there. So well done, Natalie. That is our Tool of the Week segment. All thanks to Trade Tools. Okay, we've been teasing you about this now for the last probably, 24 hours or so. We've been telling you about the great Queensland slice of history that you've never heard involving two of probably the most iconic Queenslanders of all time. And one of them joins us on the phone right now, the King, Wally Lewis. How are you, Wally?
Good afternoon, boys.
Now, a lot of people don't know this, that Wally is obviously one of the eight immortals, and... he's a rugby league legend and he's reads the sport for the last 20 years on Channel 9. Very well known. But it's come to my attention, and I want to clarify this, that potentially there was another line of work that certain members of the public wanted Wally Lewis to be involved in. We are talking to what could have been the Premier of Queensland.
Is that right, Wally? Is this true that Wally, he's the king?
He's the king, but he doesn't like to be referred to that. But my understanding is now, Wally, I know that you've got a confidentiality clause. So what we thought we'd do is that we're going to ask some true or false questions, and that's all you have to answer. You don't have to answer anything other than true or false. And
can I ask you, Dobbo, what's this on the back?
I was at a dinner on Tuesday night,
mm-hmm.
and a bloke told me that Wally Lewis was recruited to be a National Party's member.
Right.
And that off the back of that, it was declined. And the reason is Sir J.B. Ockerpeterson thought that he would be a leader of this state.
That Sir Joe headhunted...
Sir Joe headhunted Wally Lewis to be a National Party's member. And I tell you what, dear to my heart, the National Party. And the fact is that he's not, obviously, he had a bigger career on TV, which was much more important than being the Premier of this state. Wally Lewis, true or false, that Sir Joe tried to recruit you to be a National Party member?
There was an approach made. True. What I felt like saying, Dobbo, at the time was to when the approach was made, whatever you've had to drink, I'll have a double.
Do you ever think now I could have been the Premier of Queensland if I'd accepted that?
Absolutely no chance. My wife, Jackie, she was Secretary of the Young Labor Party in her early days. And my father-in-law, Bruce, he was in charge of the Wharfies. So there wasn't much chance at all that that I was going to be heading in that direction. And I've got to say that I came from the working man area as well, Cannon Hill on the south side, and probably had interests in politics, but they certainly weren't in that direction, put it that way.
How did it go though, King? Like, was it Sir Joe himself that reached out to you?
I had a meeting. Yeah. It was Senator Ron McAuliffe was the one that came up with the conversation, and just told me that he was passing it on. Could I go and meet? And I said, what's it about? And he said, I can't tell you what the meeting's all about, but he's just requested that you do have a meeting. When I passed that on, there was a little bit of a tension inside the four walls at home.
Oh, man.
And I said, look, I don't know what I've got no idea what it's about. It might be about footy. It might be about setting up a charity. I've got no idea. So I went to under the guidance of Senator Ron McAuliffe, who just said, you know, all you got to do is sit there and listen. You're not expected to do anything. I went in there and an approach was made, but it wasn't something that interested me at all. And I definitely did not.
Pretty smart move, though. Pretty smart move, by the National Party. Like, you were at that stage, you weren't the king, but you were arguably the most recognisable person in Queensland. And the National Party was struggling at that stage. So they go, why not get the ratings up? Let's go and get the best football in the game.
Yeah, well, they were apparently struggling in one area. And that was what the approach was all about, to go to another electorate. When I had a beautiful place, I was living in Norman Park at the time in an old colonial house. And I had no interest in moving from there, and there was a bit of reward that was offered should I move to another area, but it was no chance, absolutely no chance whatsoever.
How did Sir Joe take it? I can't imagine that he was an easy figure. I can't imagine he heard no a lot, Wally.
Oh, mate, I don't know, really. it wasn't an interest of mine to what he thought about it. I was asked a question, was I interested, and I gave the valid answer. I certainly wasn't, and mate, I wasn't interested in doing any politics. It didn't matter what party it was for at that stage. I was playing footy. The one thing that was the major priority in my life was football, and it didn't matter what it was. It wasn't going to interfere.
What an awesome piece of Queensland history this is. This is an amazing piece of Queensland history. How's this gone untold for so long, Wally?
I remember hearing it some time ago about, could I confirm or deny? And I simply said, no, I can't confirm or deny it. It's to be honest, it's none of your business. And I think I said it to Dobbo, didn't I? Dobbo, it wasn't any of your business either.
Yeah, but I didn't say no for an answer.
What a story, mate. Legend. Hey, thanks so much, Wally. Good on you, mate.
Good on you, guys.
There's been like a radio blitz, Dobbo, by the state government, just warning motorists that heavy penalties are going to apply to anyone that is caught driving in the Commonwealth Games lanes around the place at the moment.
Yep.
And the reason they're doing the radio blitz is because of that loophole that you used to be able to exploit. And we talked about it on our show. Can you remember the specifics of that loophole?
Yep. So when they make an adjustment to a speed limit, there's a 28-day window that if you get caught, you can claim that you were not aware of it if you are pulled up by a police officer or you were booked by a camera.
But now, you've got to go through the rigmarole of actually
taking it to court and following the due process, which for some of us is well worth it if we're short on points.
Sure.
But this
closes it.
Yeah.
This actually closes the loophole because you can't say that you're not aware of it because they're saying, well, we've spent all this advertising dollars on it. You had to be aware of it. So this takes away that loophole. So in other words, they can start booking motorists, Dobbo, on day one of the change, meaning we're no longer armed with that in our artillery to be able to get out of a speeding fine or any traffic infringement by that stretch in the imagination. So now we need to know exactly what can get you out of a traffic infringement. Have you got one?
I've got one.
Go on.
When you pay the fine, pay $2 more, right? And they can't actually process the fine. I'm telling you. If you pay $2 more or than the exact amount, they can't process it because it doesn't balance and they send you back that and you just keep on. And over time, you know, you just accrue and then you don't pay.
Yeah, but no, that's rubbish. Because you're saying you've done that?
I've done that in the past. I can tell you truly, I only did 5 cents more when you used to pay and it was 5 cents more and that meant that it wasn't the exact amount, so then they send you another letter. Well, I just disregard the letter.
That sounds like BS to me.
I'm telling you.
It does. Come off it.
All right.
All right. 133353 if you've got a proper one. Dobbo's is stupid.
I'm telling you.
Mate,
all right.
I don't believe you.
There'll be people out there that have paid a different amount and have got away with it. You wait. What?
Okay, well, if you can confirm that from Dobbo, well, I think it's a load of BS. Or if you've got one that actually works, 133353 is the number. Dobbo's just telling us about a loophole he reckons works where you pay overs on your speeding fine or traffic infringement, even by as little as 5 cents, and somehow you get away with it. Sounds like absolute BS to me, but Dot from Robina's given us a call, and you actually agree with Dobbo, Dot?
Yes, it is.
Tell me about it.
Spot on. I did the same thing. It's years ago. I don't know about nowadays with online and all that sort of way of paying things, but yes, I sent the check in for a dollar more. And they send you back a check, and I was told if I never cashed it, it wouldn't be processed, and that was correct.
Correct. What a loophole.
I threw the dollar check away, yep.
Yep, never got processed. That's a true story. That's what I used to do. I paid 5 cents more, and because it wasn't the exact amount, I got a check back, and I never, ever banked the check.
Me either.
What a great loophole. We've got to find out if it still works. I doubt it does now, like as Dot says, in online banking and that sort of stuff. Let's go to RJ out of Crestmead. What's the go, mate? What can you tell us?
Yeah, that parking thing that you used to have, or speeding, that you used to pay extra, and they it doesn't work anymore, mate. You pay extra, and they just still take the money, and they take the fine.
Well, they take the extra money that you pay as well, do they?
Yeah, well, it's your own stupidity for paying extra when you knew what the amount was. So, yeah, they just keep it.
That's sort of fair enough, Dollar.
Yeah, but I thought if you put a money order in, they have to process it to the exact figure. I think
They do process it, that's true. But if you pay extra, that's not their problem. That's yours to be instead of paying extra.
Wow.
Hmm. This is all government, mate. Every cent they get, they're never giving it back to you.
Well, they used to in the good old days.
No. Fact, it did used to work, but they cottoned onto it, see?
Hey, I'll tell you what. We just heard from the King, Wally Lewis, telling us about the good old days when Sir Joe Bjorky Peterson was around.
Yeah.
And, geez, it sounds like they used to kick around the money back then, Dobbo, eh?
Funny, oath.
You used to be able to fling the money at the government and see none in return.
Whatever you wanted.
As long as it went to Parliament House in a brown paper bag.
Yep.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Thanks for your calls on that.
Tell us, is it right or is it wrong?
Yes, all upstanding in court this afternoon. We've got the alpha male of Southeast Queensland on the phone, Big Gordy Tallis. How are you, Gordy? How's your week been?
Oh, it's been really good, actually. A little bit busy. Was up in town so early for the Queen's Baton Relay and then in Sydney a couple of times and the Gold Coast. It's been a busy week.
There is a full-page photo of Gordon Tallis in the Queensland country life. What is he doing in the Queensland country life? We have to go and buy it. But you're standing there on the top. Now, I don't know what the highest point
Castle
in town's. Yeah, with the baton, mate. It's an unbelievably good photo. It must have been a proud moment back in your hometown running the baton.
Yeah, like there's 3,000 volunteers that carry the baton. And the sports people that we all know, their story is the least important in all the ones. You know, like to have the 20 people that I carried the baton with in Townsville and, you know, one of the guys went to Afghanistan and lost his leg and now he teaches resilient at school for, you know, for like kids that get bullied and all that kind of stuff and never give up in life. And there was 19 other stories like that. And then when they got to me, they said, why are you carrying a baton? I said, well, I'm the only one in my family fit enough to run 300 metres.
It's a good story, Gordy. And Libby was up there as well. It was just really good. It was great to see Townsville honouring their finest. But, mate, we've got you on to get the official ruling on some of the big stories of the day. We're going to kick it off with this one, mate. Joey Johns last night on Channel 9 came out and slammed the referees and had this to say. Let's have a listen.
I can't really tell who's the better team because the game has been destroyed by penalties. 12 penalties by end of that first half.
Question for you, Gordy. Is he right? Are referees ruining the great game of rugby league?
Andrew Johns is wrong.
Wrong!
He's not even going to elaborate?
Well, yeah, I'm going to elaborate because the coaches have got away with it for the last 10 years. The referee said that they're going to crack down on it and they want the game to come back. Everybody begs referee right when they come up with a decision that's wrong and they let it get away and they're inconsistent. They're being super consistent. They told every coach and normally they'd go away after 2 or 3 weeks and then let the players and the coaches run the game, but I'm glad that they're staying strong, and I think that we need to so the game is fair moving down.
Gordy says, that's wrong.
There you go. We've covered off on the first one. What's the second one,
Benji
Dobbo?
Marshall's son has been named Benji. Is that a tool move, Gordon Tallis, to name your son after yourself?
I think it's pretty cool. I reckon everybody's named after somebody, and Elle McPherson's 54, and if she named her daughter Elle, and she's 35 and I was dating her, I wouldn't have a problem.
Okay.
And I would not think that her mum is a tool at all. And
okay.
If Cindy Crawford's daughter was named Cindy and she wanted to date me, I would not have the problem either.
How did we get from Benji Marshall's son being called Benji to...
It comes down to names, whether you name yourself, name your kid after your name. And Gordon, I'm named after my grandfather, so it's just a generation. And my brother's named after my father. And my father was named after his father. So I really don't have a problem with it.
Gordy says, that's right.
Don't call Gordy a tool.
No, but somehow in this, Gordy ended up sleeping with both Elle McPherson and Cindy Crawford. I like his style. Okay, mate.
Dreaming.
The third and final one for you, mate. The big news through the week, I think it was Tuesday and Wednesday night, Ed Sheeran playing Suncorp Stadium. Is Ed Sheeran the greatest ranger to ever play at Suncorp Stadium?
It was a toss of a coin, but I would say yes.
Yes!
Absolutely.
He was
absolutely... I said it through the call. I said he's the second most famous guy to run out on Suncorp Stadium. But by the end of the concert, I changed my mind. He was absolutely brilliant. What a talented young man he is.
Gordy says, that's right.
Fatty Vorton's calling in and he reckons you're full of it, Gordy. That's what he's saying.
No, I was going with Brad Myers. I thought he would have been.
Lance Thompson, don't keep on talking about.
Hey, good on you, Gordy. Thanks for joining us, mate, and clearing us up, clearing that up and give us the official word on those important matters, mate. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Pleasure, guys. Great show.
The brand new show for everyone to yenter up on Sunday night. It is Bachelor in Paradise. Are you going to watch this one, Dobbo? You think?
Hell no.
Yeah, I bet you do,
no, mate.
No, mate,
I'm married at first sight. I'm sticking loyal to that. I'm not going to some rival show. Which
it's
could
not on anymore, mate. You can't cheat on your missus if your missus isn't around anymore. And Married at First Sight is over. Anyway, one girl that definitely will be watching is Lorena, who joins us right now. Welcome to the show, Lorena.
Well, how are you?
Yeah, we're really good. You know, a lot of people excited about this Bachelor in Paradise. Now that Married in First Sight's gone, where are all the Yenters going to go to congregate on TV? But it looks like Bachelor in Paradise, I think it's going to be a blockbuster. Are you sensing that?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm excited and nervous for it. You know, I'm remembering quite a few loose moments in there. I hope I don't cringe too hard.
When was it filmed?
It was filmed in about, like, October last year.
Over how long?
It was 3 weeks in total filming time.
Pretty much, just explain the whole concept of it.
It is 10 ex-bachelorettes and 10 ex-bachelors put on an island all day, flirting and drinking and laughing and seeing what relationships form.
Is it true that you have to form a relationship to stay on the island? Is that basically the premise?
Pretty much, yes, because there's a rose ceremony every couple of days and the power changes between the boys and the girls who's giving out the roses, and there's new people coming every day. So you need to form an alliance and keep it, but if someone else that you like walks through the door, you want to make sure it's your turn to give out the rose before you jump ship.
Right, so in other words, you'd be prepared to hook up with someone you might not even like or be that attracted to just so you can stay in the game. Is that the way it works?
Yes, that's exactly how it works.
You know the style and the direction of the show, Luke, when all contestants have to undergo an STD check before filming begins.
No.
Is that true?
All reality shows are like that. I had to do that even before Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. I had to do all bloods and urines and all that. I think that's just in case you cut yourself or, you know, have a squabble with someone and cut them. Who knows?
And you've done a few now. So you've done what? The Bachelor, you've done Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, and now Bachelor in Paradise. Which one pays the best? Which one
get me out of here?
Does it really? Yep.
How much do loved ones don't pay that well because they want to make sure you're there for love.
We hear today that if you want to sort of kick it out wide with someone, so you want to take the relationship to the next level, like, and actually, you know, get it on with one of the guys, to do so, you've got to go to the producers and get permission to be able to do that? Is that how it works?
Yeah, well, so they had some very, you know, cautious protocols in place where if anyone wanted to hook up, they had to go and both advise production that they were consenting.
Did you actually have to have that conversation?
I never went that far. The most I had was like a bit of a massage. If they caught anyone hooking up, they were going to, you know, have the right to burst in the door and say, are you consenting? Are you consenting?
Wowee.
Did that happen?
Not that I know of.
Right.
But...
Okay.
What's the next step for you? Where do you go from 3 reality TV series? And I mean, I'm looking forward to watching this Sunday night. It's going to be a belter and it will be a ratings hit. But where do you end up?
Me?
Yep.
Well, maybe I might a little happy ever after, you never know.
Yeah, Dobbo, she might be, you know, madly in love. She might be even married now and not be able to tell us all.
I might be knocked up already for all you guys know.
I'm anticipating there's more than one pregnancy out of this story. In fact, I got a feeling even if you watch it for long enough, you might fall pregnant yourself. There's so much sexuality going on this show. Hey, good on you, Lorena. Thanks for joining us. Before you go, has there been any TV approaches for you to join a reality TV show that you've said no to?
Not yet, but I did have a call today of someone talking to me about another opportunity. So, you know, you never know what will come up.
Good on you. Good on you. Living life, having fun, and we'll see you on Sunday night, Bachelor in Paradise. Sounds like a real romp. Looking forward to seeing it. And thanks for joining us, the Savo.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
There she goes, Lorena. God, that show, Dolo. That's going to get talked about, mate.
We'll talk about it Monday. We'll dissect episode one Monday.
I'm not watching, mate.
Yes, you will, mate.
I didn't watch one episode of Married at First Sight, mate. I did not watch one episode, and I won't watch one episode of that. I might catch something. And the news today that we still have the Gold Coast show, we think that's the message out of council today. But to clear it all up and answer our very important question, which is, do we get our public holiday this year, is Councillor Herman Vorster, who's the head of the Lifestyle Community Centre. Welcome to the show, Herman. Well done.
Hey, thanks, mate. And hey, long-time listener, first-time caller in. I'm actually a bit smitten, guys.
That's so good. That's very good. Are we going to get a public holiday for the show?
Yeah. Look, I think there'd be riots in the street if we didn't get our show holiday, and I'm sure that weighed heavily on my colleagues' minds today. So the good news is, That's all locked in. And we now want to make sure that that show happens in a way that's pretty awesome and free of charge for Gold Coasters.
Oh, it's going to be free of charge. So is it going to be like a small scale Gold Coast show? It's going to be sort of a cross between a proper show, Dobbo, and a school fete. That's what a
festival they call them. A festival.
It's better than the fete it would otherwise have had.
Where's it going to be, Herman? Where's the show going to be this year?
Yeah, look, what we want to do is take advantage of that awesome Broadwater view down there at the Broadwater Parklands. And locate the show there. Best thing is it's on the light rail, so parking's not going to be a hassle. And we've got Kerry Park close by as well. So it ticks all the boxes and
I like that it's free. It's free. It's good. Because you get there, Dobbo, you know you're going to get ripped off $20 for a bloody hot dog when you get there. And then you go, all right, well, then they slug you $10 at the gate. Getting in for free is going to be good.
Yeah, the drama is, Herman, who's going to be part of the... I know you're head of the Lifestyle Community Committee, and so you're part of this organising. Have you thought about bringing any external people in to help you run this event?
Well, look, I'm partial to the Dagwood Dogs. So I'm going to make sure that we've got experts with that involved.
I was more suggesting the Candyman come and offer some assistance in running the festival.
Well, as I said, you can hop on the tram and go to surface.
Nice. Okay. Hey, we're all for it. You know, I'll be honest with you, Herman. I didn't really give a toss if we had it or not. I just wanted to make sure that we had the public holiday, and it sounds like we're going to have both a really great show down at the Broadwater Parklands, and it's going to be free, and we're going to have the public holiday as well. That's fantastic news. It's a win-win as far as I'm concerned, mate. Well done.
Isn't it great when, you know, council doesn't get a hammering? Wow, this is a...
Yeah, look at you. Now,
we'll
now let's
talk
to the about...
M1 shortly.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about those bloody lights.
I think our latte-sipping mates have had their milk go sour over this one.
Oh, yeah, more than that. Good on you, mate.
Whenever a radio station starts talking to you about the lights, Herman, that's when you should declare that your phone's playing up and you can't hear.
I can't hear. I've got to go.
Hey, good on you, Herman. Thanks for joining us, mate.